This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The Jocks Roundtable, driven by Benchmark Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, is on now.
Are you ready?
It's bracketology time in college basketball. Last night, Alabama was ugly and won by double digits on the road at a Vanderbilt team that is struggling without their best player. But it was a win they absolutely had to have in the bracketology world. Auburn got back in winning ways with their swagger at home. We'll start down on the plains where the 16th-ranked Tigers finally got good guard play again. They distributed the basketball. The offense exploded, including a kid off the bench who really had not made a name for himself yet.
Well, that was the difference. You know, Bruce Pearl brings in Devin Cambridge. You know, they had gone one from 10 from the field to start the game. They're down 15-8. He hits that three. They go on a 19-3 run. And without Cambridge in the lineup, Brown, who hit six of their 10 threes, I think Auburn probably goes down.
They may. I mean, they as a whole, the team – The same group of players that we've talked about struggling in the Alabama and the Florida game struggled again. He was the difference. And it was an amazing night by Cambridge. I think he had scored, what was it you tweeted? Is that 52?
52 points, yeah, in his career.
Right.
He was averaging 3.1 a game. He had scored, I think, 4 points in SEC play.
Yeah. I mean, you
and he comes in his 26.
You just don't get that off the bench normally.
No, but if you can introduce a new weapon and you can get guys like Doughty going again, and Doughty right now, you know, I don't know the body language. You saw the easy chippy he missed early on, and he's just in a major funk. You know, he goes for 11 last night, but 3 of 10, 1 of 5 behind the arc.
What was his assist, though? That's what Bruce was raving about last night.
We had 4 assists.
He had 4.
Yeah, but he distributed the basketball better, and that's what he has to do. Not only score, but he's got to play defense and run the floor.
I'm telling you, when this comes together, though, McCormick can be really good.
Yes, we saw that last year.
Austin Wiley still, it's 20 minutes on the dot every night. He's just not getting enough looks. And if Austin Wiley gets more involved and you get guys like McLemore and Cambridge off the bench, Doughty gets the confidence back, this can be a really, really good Auburn team.
I had to take my son and pick my son up.
And Okoro's probably the best of the bunch.
I had to take my son and pick my son up last night from an event, so I caught some of the Auburn Network broadcast over on Jocks 2, and Sonny made a point on Austin Wiley in the first half that when he gets the ball down low, he's not getting his shot up fast enough. He's slow with the basketball getting it up. Sonny just really, you know, spot on with his analysis.
And who's in charge of the bigs down there?
He's got to get better. He's got to get better at getting the ball up faster. And yeah, Sonny pointing that out on the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, so if Sonny – no, there's no shot at Sonny. I mean, yeah. Sonny's obviously a smart basketball guy, but if he's seen it, Bruce Pearl has seen it. I mean,
that's right. He's not at practice,
you know,
every day.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a mystery to Bruce Pearl there. And, I mean, like you said, Lance, coaching is the only way you can fix that, obviously. I mean, that's – if he's doing that, that's obviously his gut reaction, right? I get the ball, I got to find the perfect move, or I've got to put it on the floor, I got to back this guy down, whatever it is, that's his gut reaction. So somehow you got to reprogram him and say, you don't have to do all those things.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the early things that you learn as a big is you don't put it on the floor.
Right.
Yeah, he's losing the handle on some balls that should be 2 points when they get it to him down low. But back to Devin Cambridge here. Here's what Bruce said after the game about him. It involved a pregame conversation.
I have said that someday he could be our best player. I've said that. But I talked to him before the game tonight, and I was like, what are you waiting for? I mean, this team needs you this year. I know what the future could be for you because he's been struggling a little bit, even in practice. His confidence, believe it or not, I think, was waning a little. None of the coaches' confidence, none of the teammates' confidence. But it was kind of time for him to step up a little bit. He picked a pretty good time.
He really did, and not just the three guys. His two dunks were just highlight reels, and the one he grabbed off the rim and then put it back in on the rebound, that was I didn't see SportsCenter top 10 last night. Surely that was in the top 10, unless we had some dog jumping through a hula hoop or something.
Well, those are always good.
They are good, but that had to be a top 10-er.
I haven't looked up what the media guide says, but, I mean, he looks, what, 6'5"-ish?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm just judging.
From Nashville, Tennessee.
I do know that. I'm just judging based on the way, you know, You just watch these guys play, which, by the way, Zion Williamson looks way smaller in the NBA than he did in college. I don't know if you've noticed that. But anyway, you watch those guys play and you see how they size up. He looks about like a 6'5 guard.
Yeah, I'll ask you this. If you heard it in the office when I was cutting the audio up earlier,
I did not.
How many kids do you think is in the Cambridge family? Devin is, how many siblings? This.
Well, now that you ask it, I will say 13.
That's a little high. He's not a Duggar.
Not a ton.
He's a Cambridge.
I told you, I grew up with the Flints. They were 10 strong.
Yeah, this is 10. 10's the number. He's one of 10 kids.
Man.
You've got a full, you know, full court
two
game.
Two teams, yeah. He grew up full court.
Yeah, he told Tom Hart afterwards that his dad was a big star at Alabama A&M in Huntsville, listening to us on the ump up there. But he said the best player in his family is the youngest of them all, his little sister. She puts up nights like I just put up every night, he told Tom Hart on the SEC Network. Auburn wins it 80-67. That included a 19-4 run that put the game away in the second half. Iowa State's up next this Saturday, early tip down at Auburn Arena as Auburn gets back in winning ways. For Alabama, they're winners of 9 of their last 12. The losses on the road at Penn State, Florida, and Kentucky, games they could have won, all of them. Now they've won 9 or 12. They beat Vandy last night in a game where Alabama's already lost a Penn in the opener, and you can't get that off your resume, right? Down the stretch, they can't have a loss like Vandy. That would have been a horrible loss last night, and Alabama really did everything they had to do to lose the game. They turned the thing over 25 times. It was about as sloppy as I've seen Alabama play under Nate Oates. And they still win by double digits.
Yeah, really good and really bad coming out of this game for Nate Oates and Alabama. You mentioned the 25 turnovers, and Joe Lunardi yesterday doesn't have Alabama as a tournament team, and they aren't right now. But if you're on that committee and this team continues to play and win games, I think you got to be a little forgiving early on because you are breaking in a new system with a new coach. And now this is a team that is 9-3 in their last 12 games, and they were hitting some perimeter shots. They crashed the boards. 51-32 advantage there. And I don't know what's more amazing, the fact that Vanderbilt now has lost 23 consecutive SEC games, or the fact that with about 5 minutes left in the first half, they had missed 37 consecutive threes.
I don't know how you do that. And that's
nearly impossible.
Yeah, I mean, and it's actually, believe it or not, percentage-wise, one of the better three-point shooting teams in the conference. And they can't buy one right now.
They finally got hot and hit 5.
Yes. They were 5 of 26.
Yeah, 5 of 51 their last two games. Vandy's struggling without Aaron Nesmith, and you feel bad for Stackhouse up there. But
I never thought we'd see this with the Vanderbilt program, though.
No, their basketball school, baseball school, really, but I've always loved their basketball program. I like that old gym, the oldest in the SEC. But 23 straight SEC losses, as you said. Swanee, there's not many Swanee records left.
Right.
In the SEC record books. But Swanee basketball has the record. 24 straight losses from 1938 to 1940. Pull it out of the peach basket. And now Vandy's got to win their next SEC game or they're going to tie Swanee, which I guess is very close to the Vanderbilt campus, relatively speaking, in the SEC.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to win it. They're going to South Carolina on Saturday. Yep.
And then if they break the record, that may be the last Swanee record. That may erase Swanee from the SEC annals.
I think it's annals, Jim. Yes.
One's better than the other, and I'm not going to tell you which. Yes.
Well, they're playing right now.
Yeah, I believe you would like to be erased from the annals.
Yeah,
annals. Actually, there's a debate in this one, now that I think about it.
Anyway, Alabama last night. John Petty, though, shoots through all the turnovers. He had 6. Kyra had 7 turnovers, but Alabama wins it 77-62. Now they get Kansas State at home. Those suspensions came down yesterday. Kansas indefinitely suspended Silvio D'Souza, and then the Big 12 comes and says 12 games. You're out 12 games. Kansas State loses James Love for 8 games and Antonio Gordon for 3 games. Which one? Nate Oates said in the post game last night with our buddy Chris Stewart that only one of those guys really is a significant player. Which one is the better player?
That's Antonio Gordon.
So Gordon's out,
but he's only averaging 5-4. He's a freshman, 6'9".
So they didn't lose a lot.
No production. The other guy he's not even really averaging anything.
Did D'Souza get 2 games? Am I right about that?
12 games.
12 games. Okay.
12 games.
I missed the one. I thought it said 2.
No, he got the rest of the regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Self suspended him indefinitely. Then the Big 12 made it 12 games. I haven't seen Self say we'll go with the 12 games. He made it indefinitely. There's a chance he doesn't wear a Kansas uniform.
Yeah, right. He's barely won one. You know, won one already.
For the Big 12, you make this interesting, and you bring him back for the finale against Kansas State.
Just walk him out there, make it a Conor McGregor like entry, and just have a fun time with it. Big news yesterday from Auburn: Kevin Steele gets an extension, 3 years through 2022 that season. Top 20 Auburn's defense has been all 4 years in scoring defense. That's all you can ask for nowadays in football. It's good enough to win championships, right? Top 20 defense in scoring is good enough to win championships.
Yeah. You had the number 32 overall defense for LSU last year, and you won a national championship. Now, a little bit different because that was one of the better offenses we've seen in the history of
college football. 31st in scoring for LSU. Yeah.
But if you're number 20 in scoring defense or higher, then it's on your offense to win a national championship.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Kevin Steele is mainly responsible for the Gus Malzahn extension and Gus Malzahn having his job.
If I had told Auburn fans back in 2013, let me see where Auburn's scoring defense was.
With that said, Gus is the guy that hired him.
Yeah, you get credit for your staff for 100%. Right, right. I would guess 54.
In 2013?
Yeah. Oh, no. 2013 was a bad year. No, 2013?
Yeah, 2013. The year they went to the national championship.
I'm going to put them at – I'm going to hold with 54.
I would go 42.
47th is where Auburn's scoring defense was in 2013. 24 points per game. 24.7 points per game.
Really good offense.
Can you go back? Extremely good offense.
Can you go back to 2010?
I can. If you'll give me 1 second, I'm going to say that one is probably –
Yeah, I would say that was in the 50s.
So here's the deal on Kevin Steele, though. He made $1.9 million last year. Is it safe to assume? I've seen no details yet on the actual pricing. Is it safe to assume he's a $2 million man now?
Yeah, I would say 2.5.
Auburn in 2010 was 24 points a game, actually slightly less than what they were in 2013, but 53rd in the country in scoring defense.
Different game back then.
It was a different game back then, but my point to that was going to be you go back to a year they played for the national championship, and they were in the 40s in scoring defense. If I had told you over the last 4 years they haven't been outside the top 20, if I'd have told an Auburn fan that, I can give you a defensive coordinator that in scoring defense will just have you in the top 20. Every Auburn fan in America said, God, how many championships do we win?
Yeah. How many Gus Malzahn's offense? How many SEC have we won, and did we win the national championship?
Yeah. I mean, with Gus Malzahn's offense that you saw in 2013 and the first part of 2014, if you knew you had a scoring defense in the 20s, you would have said, we're one of the dominant programs in America.
Yeah, I think Alabama would take that now.
Oh, there's no doubt they would.
Here's the big picture now, though, as you go into the season, and it's all about the Jimmys and Joes. We understand that, and Auburn's got some roster issues. They've got to fill some holes like everybody in college football does year in and year out. But if you get Kevin Steele at this point in his career, and if you can get almost what Chad Morris gave Clemson back in his offensive coordinator days, you've got a pretty dynamic duo at coordinator down on the Plains.
You do.
I know it goes back to Jimmy's and Joe's and all of that, but when you talk about pen to paper of drawing up the plays and football minds who get people in the right place on the field, you've got two pretty good guys if Morris can wake up the echoes from his OC days at Clemson.
Well, you've got over a half century of experience there, Brown, and you've got two former coaches, two former head coaches at the Power 5 level.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and look at Chad Morris's best scoring offense because he was 11 through 14 was when he was the coordinator.
I would lean probably SMU over Clemson.
Well,
it would be close.
Yeah, no, I was just going to back and looking at Clemson because that's going to be more apples to apples. I mean, to me, because that's the type of player you're coaching. They were sixth in the nation scoring offense in 2012, 41 points per game.
He's the one that helped with Dabo kick off this run.
That was a Taj Boyd team.
Clemson has turned into. It was that dynasty kickoff with Chad Morris in charge. So Auburn's sitting pretty good here at the old coordinator situation, getting those guys locked in and Kevin Steele now for the next 3 years.
40 a game in 2013, which was eighth in the country. And then they dropped off a little bit in 2014. But, I mean, if you gave me 40 a game with Auburn's defense, I feel like you're in pretty good shape.
So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Kevin Steele is a guy, you know, at the end last year, there were some talks, you know, maybe if South Alabama made a move on their head coach, maybe Kevin would be interested in that job. to be a head coach one more time, or if this or that happened, maybe Kevin would want to do that. Do you get the feeling with this announcement coming right now, this was already in the works from back at the end of the season? This is just normal business operating procedures. We're going to go ahead and extend this guy out. Or do you think the fact that LSU had a defensive coordinator opening pop up, you think there was someone else calling?
Oh, I'm sure.
Kevin Steele, Auburn needed to lock him down a little bit longer?
If anybody would have called the check on Kevin Steele, you'd have to think it's Ed Orgeron, because he stood on that sideline and watched Auburn's defense frustrate his offense more than anybody did all year long.
Kevin was there, though, before he came to Auburn. He was down at LSU.
Yeah, that makes it even better. And I mean,
he knows where all the good restaurants
are. Yeah, look, if I'm at Orgeron, it's the first call I was making.
Yeah, I mean, if you tell me as a LSU fan, you can have Bo Pelini or Kevin Steele, which one would you want?
Kevin Steele.
I would, too. And I know LSU has seen them both, and Pelini was probably more popular as a defensive coordinator than Kevin Steele was.
National champion. He was much more successful.
And kind of had a bigger name. I mean, the Pelini name's a little bit bigger than the Kevin Steele name at that time. But if I'm an LSU fan and you gave me Kevin Steele to replace Dave Aranda, I feel like we have not missed a beat defensively.
You know, with this announcement, it also tells me Kevin Steele's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's
probably one of these South Alabama jobs. There's no chance.
Got to be his last job now, right?
Probably so, unless, you know, you had an opportunity like an Arkansas, Mississippi State. I mean, those jobs are obviously gone now, but it would take a Power 5 job.
Yeah, I mean, 3-year contract for a guy that's 61, about to turn 62 in March.
Yeah, I would say this is his last stop.
Yeah, this has got to be his last stop. And he's been all over the board. He's bounced around plenty. So, you know, to be able to finish your career at a place like Auburn, and probably have, by the time he's done, he started in 2016, I guess by the time he's done, probably have a 6-7 year run as defensive coordinator. That's a good way to finish your career. And listen, he's right now thought of as one of the best in the country. I mean, you watch Auburn games and you hear the announcers talk and the Herb Streets and people like that of the world, they talk about Kevin Steele among the best in the country right now. So that's going to be his image when he walks away.
Walker writes in and says, if the tide turns against Gus, Kevin has a strong case to replace Gus halfway through a year as head coach and take over after that, run the interim.
Gus will never get off this, will he? I don't know what he'll have to do. We're already talking about
him. National championship.
Yeah, I don't think that's a goal for Kevin Steele either, to be an interim coach to finish out a season once the coach is blown out.
So Kevin Steele gets a contract extension of 3 years, and the reaction is, if Gus gets fired halfway through this next season, Kevin Steele could take over.
AU fan Scott writes in, best news all day was the Kevin Steele announcement yesterday. And it was a big deal for Auburn, getting Steele locked in down on the plane.
Yeah, I never thought of him as a guy Auburn could potentially lose this year. But I also, you know, didn't account for an LSU-type job coming open. And, I mean, you know, you'd already lost Marcus Woodson as a defensive backs coach, who a lot of people like on both sides, the defensive back and the recruiting. As Jay Tate told us on the show yesterday, he spearheaded the recruiting effort. You know, you've probably got a net win. Well, you've got a net win at offensive coordinator. People think you've got a net win at offensive line coach. I don't know. You know, Jack McNeil Jr. versus J.B. Grimes, we'll see. But it is a net win keeping Kevin Steele, because I don't know who you're going to go get that was going to be better. So that's a net win.
That's the big news in college football yesterday. A couple of other moves going on. It is a defensive coordinator hire in Starkville. They get Zach Arnett, who had already accepted the job at Syracuse, and then he says, I'd rather be in the SEC. And he leaves San Diego State for Mississippi State. So this guy had done a really good job with Rocky Long out there in SoCal.
Yeah, you know, the last 3 years he spent as a defensive coordinator under Rocky Long, and these are some of the best mid-major defenses we've seen over the last few years. Syracuse not happy about this decision for Arnett to give them the commitment and then back out. I don't know how you guys feel about that. You know, ultimately for Zach Arnett, this is a better opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's really gotten settled in. I think as a program, when you hire somebody in these situations, you got to be aware that there is a chance they could take a better job.
I'm sure Dino Babers doesn't like it, but let's be honest about this. If Babers
would have gotten the Mississippi State offer?
No. Well, yes, but if USC today said, hey, you know what? We realize that was a screw-up keeping Clay Helton. He's fired. We want Dino Babers. You telling me he wouldn't go today?
He's gone.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, you can be upset all you want.
It sucks when it happens to you.
Yeah, but you've done the same thing.
Yeah.
So, It takes a special defensive coordinator, though, to work for an air raid coach. I mean, not everybody is cut out for that one.
I like the hire, though.
I do, too. But I'm just saying you got to be willing to know there are going to be times where I don't even have a time to rest my defense. They're going to score quick or they're going to go quick three and out.
Yeah, but I do think Mike Leach over the last few years can look back to these Alex Grinch defenses.
I mean, I know we're 219 days away from college football again. And I know every spring
we got a bowl prediction coming?
No, every spring game we get, you know, everybody looks good. Everybody's positive. That's just what happens at A-Days and blue and orange in games and blue and white games and red and black games, all those games in the spring.
Everyone black and looks gold good. At Vanderbilt.
Black and gold games.
V-Day.
All I'm sitting here is Kevin Steele. That's great news. Arnett, I like to hire. Is anybody doing anything wrong in the SEC right now? I mean, who's doing anything wrong with their hires, their recruiting? Everyone seems to be moving forward in the SEC. Is that just the nuance of an off season, or does it not feel like
Georgia lost a big offensive lineman? They lost their quarterback.
Oh, they lost more than one offensive lineman. They lost
One that transferred.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, we got to wait and see what LSU does in these coordinator spots, right?
LSU's had a bad offseason.
Todd Monken's a good hire, though.
He is
at Georgia.
I think he is.
That's an improvement at offensive coordinator, in my opinion.
It should be. We thought James Coley was going to be an improvement.
I don't know that you improved at offensive line. Higher, but you certainly didn't move backwards. I mean, Matt Luke's at least as good as Sam Pittman, probably.
He played better on television in the Sugar Bowl.
Matt Luke,
he looked really good in that role. Zion played last night.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He did.
You know,
slow out of the gate, and then he went where he scored 17 straight points.
I was in one of those situations where I was in my sports room and I had Auburn on one TV and was looking for stuff to watch on the other two.
I do that too. I can't stand to have just one on unless I'm watching a show.
I know. I don't like to have them black, so I tried to find something to watch. And then Alabama was right after Auburn, so I had the same thing. Rockstar, one of my TVs, I was just doing like the ESPN app to see what they had to offer. They had Zion Cam. And I clicked on it for a little while.
How bad if he got hurt and they're just like, oh, we got to keep showing
it. Well, I mean, when he was on the bench, they didn't show any of the game. It's all Zion. Like, they just show him sitting on the bench talking to the coaches, talking to his teammates. Zion Cam for game one.
I get it. You know, he's going to be a star. And that run where he scored 17 straight points was very entertaining watching him do that. And Brown said it earlier because Brown – much like all of us, when something pops on one of our TVs, he just instantly talks about it. The highlight reel, you look at him, he looks very different, as you said, Brown, than he did when he was playing at Duke.
Well, he looked like a middle linebacker playing at Duke.
Well, he lost his baby fat is what it looks like.
Well, I think the guys are just bigger in the NBA, too.
Oh, so
I mean,
I know
they are bigger in the NBA.
No, your average guy in the NBA is probably 6'8", 6'8 and a half. I mean, Zion's 6'6". Now he's 285 pounds, and he's a special talent because his agility – and, you know, the quickness and everything that comes with him being 6'6", 285 pounds. But I'll tell you, if he plays like he did last night, which we won't see that. I mean, this is a guy that really wasn't bad behind the arc at Duke. Hit about 33% of his attempts, but only attempted a couple of threes a game. But, I mean, 4 for 4 last night.
Yeah, my point was I just think the NBA guys are bigger. I don't know what your average size of a college basketball player is, but his size made him stand out more in college. He's not as big a guy in the NBA as he is in college. It's going to be way more about his skill. Like in college, his skill was tremendous, obviously, but there was also nobody that could body up with him.
Yeah, unscientific here, I would say 6'4", 6'5 is your average college guy, 210, 215.
But you got NBA guys.
NBA, I would say 6'8", probably 225, 230.
Right. So you're telling me he's not literally thinner and in better shape than he was.
He might be. I don't
know. He looked like he was to me.
Maybe so, but I just know the guys around him are bigger.
You're making it sound like I've had a cocktail and I'm walking through Ripley's in Gatlinburg, and it's just a visual perception there that he's
very specific.
Size.
Yeah, but
no, I think he'll grow into his body a little bit more. He's only 19. You know, somebody was talking about Shaquille O'Neal in his LSU days, and you look at those.
Oh,
he was skinny.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen – go ahead. You had a real point.
I was just going to say he grew into his body a different way, and I think Zion would probably grow the opposite.
No, I'm way more interested to talk about the Ripley's in Gatlinburg. Is that where you're going?
No, I'm going – there's one – I can't find it right now, but there's one – it's not a GIF. It's actually
– a meme.
It's actually a video clip.
Okay.
It's a guy – it's an area – I don't know where it is, but I've seen the video. Maybe you guys have too. Lunsford, you're on the computer, it seems like 23 hours a day.
Wow.
of someone walking down a staircase, and as they're walking down a staircase, they come down a staircase over here, and they just keep going, but they're always walking down a staircase. Have you seen that video?
If it's an M.C. Escher print, I know that's an illusion.
Does like anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
I know the illusion. Yeah. I haven't seen the
Inception.
It is. It does. It's a lot like Inception.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I've seen Joaquin Phoenix walk downstairs.
I've seen the video.
Yeah.
If anyone knows what video I'm speaking of, hit us up on Twitter and send that video. It's an amazing, and I watch it 1,000 times, and I see people, and they get down to the bottom, and they're like, they can't figure it out either, and then they're back up at the. It's mind blowing.
And all you got to do is put a tennis ball on the stairs, right?
Why?
Do you?
Well, because it's going to throw them off. You would slip on the tennis ball, right? So you're not going to be going around the stairs over and over again. You would actually fall off the stairs.
Yeah, I've seen this video, and I've tried to figure it out too, and I just gave up and moved on.
Anyway, that's what I get with Zion. He looks...
The guy on the stairs?
He looks thinner to me.
He looks like a video I don't understand, and I don't know where to find.
Anyway, he is going to be a special talent if he can stay healthy. And you saw the buzz that he brought. And look, I think it was a little overkill, the Zion countdown. And I'm working out yesterday, and they had a clock. It was 4 hours and 28 minutes until tip.
I wasn't that excited about it. I mean, I tuned in.
We count down till the damn first game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you,
season.
I shut it down. After trivia last night, you know, when Rocky and I left, I wake up at 1:15 in the morning and look at my phone, and I've got to text Zion, all exclamations.
You thought he died?
Typically, when we get a text, it's like with an exclamation, somebody's gone down. But I just assume he had a big second half.
Rock star. I mean, people are excited about the start. And I know they were excited about Zion. There's a difference in counting that at the start of college football.
It's a thing now. They'll say, like, on CNN and Fox and all that stuff, they'll say 46 hours to the debate. Yeah. There's a literal ticker that says it.
And Alvin Gentry is getting killed for taking him out when he did at the
end. That was the plan.
But they had to. I mean, the team doctors have said he can play. I think he was cleared for, 20 minutes? Played 18?
Well, they just don't want to rush him back.
Right.
So they're going to work him back slowly. I mean, it's the Strasburg effect, right? You don't want to – it's worked out for the Nationals when they took him out of the
– they shut him down for the end of the season when they were, in the playoffs. And in hindsight, it looks like they made the right decision, though they got roundly criticized for it. And people are getting on him like the Pelicans had a comeback. Guys, this is a regular season game in January. They literally play 82 of these. And that win may end up, maybe knocking them, or the loss may knock them out of the playoffs in the end. I don't know, but you're not going to risk a guy playing in his first game to get a win over the Spurs in January.
Well, I'm excited to see Zion. I'm not a Pelicans fan. I'm a Knicks fan. I wanted him in New York, but I'll watch some Zion basketball, especially this week. You got the NBA pass on your laptop. You watch it all you want until the 26th. Your reaction on Twitter, everyone coming in. Wayne says, it's just that time of year, Dunaway, where everything's positive. Like before you go on a date until you see what they actually look like. Everyone's always excited before that first date until you actually spend time on that date.
Don't you think there's a lot of people out there that have been in the dating game a while that aren't optimistic anymore because it's been so bad?
I don't think. You're probably right. Now, I haven't dated in a very long time. My wife and I have been married 20 years this year. But
humble brag? No, I'm joking.
Just
a flat-out brag.
Just a flat-out brag, yes, with my wife and me. But I would guess in the dating game today, you never go on a date that you haven't seen before now. With social media?
Like a for-real blind date?
Like a for-real blind date.
Yeah.
Right, you're exactly right.
If I set you up, the first thing you're going to do is look for her on Twitter.
You're going to Facebook stalk.
MySpace.
Yeah, it would be impossible. I would love to hear from one of our listeners. If legitimately in the last 5 years you have gone on a blind date.
Like if I told you, Rockstar, you're engaged, Lunsford, we're all married or engaged or dating or whatever.
Damien's on Bumble and stuff. You at least get a picture before
Bumble and Hinge to a lot of people are like blind dating because people are lying about they're showing a picture from 7 or 8 years ago.
Picture when I was fit in high school. What do you know? Yeah. I'm 43.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no way if I told Damien right now, Damien, I got a girl I want you to go out with.
He'd do it.
He'd be all right. And I say, but he would want her name. Like I would say, Damien, her name is, Sue Jones, just to use a generic name.
It's going to be hard to separate her on Twitter, but yes.
Well, the first thing he's going to do is go to Twitter or Facebook and see if he can find her.
Instagram's the best place.
Yeah, but if we said you can't go on the date if you look at her, but I promise you she's wild as a buck and you'll love it. He's in, look, see?
Wild as a buck.
It's an old Maplesville term, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of girl is she? Wild as a buck.
Yeah, because in the old days, before you could look them up online, you would always, well, she's got a great personality. I'm out.
Did you guys ever have, I know, that was, did you guys ever have a blind date? See, I never had one.
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't know what she was going to look like before you showed up?
Yeah.
And?
In college a couple of times.
Yeah. So somebody just set you two up and you didn't know her at all?
Yeah, I remember twice. One really good, one not so good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you Lance?
She did carry me home, though, so that was good.
Wow. We literally carried you home.
We're back.
Big hands. 651 Eli Manning announcing his retirement Friday. That came out yesterday. I'd forgotten about, I knew he won the two Super Bowls. I forgot he was MVP in both of those, which puts him in the category with only Joe Montana, Bart Starr, Tom Brady, and Terry Bradshaw.
Pretty good company.
Yeah, but, you know, you all won a easy Super Bowl as a quarterback, you're going to be the MVP. Nick Foles has been an MVP as in a Super Bowl. You know, I don't know if we did this Cowan poll question, you know, earlier this year, but now we can safely have the debate, is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame quarterback or not? And I love the analytics they've already got. ESPN is saying 70% he is in.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that.
All of his teammates that played with him in the past, not currently, say he's easily a Hall of Famer.
I disagree. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But you think
he'll
be in.
But again, my Hall of Fame is a lot smaller than most.
No, but, okay, whether he's a Hall of Fame quarterback
or not.
If
I had to bet money in
Las
Vegas.
Will he get in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, he will get in the Hall of Fame because of his name.
Yeah, nobody goes and, you know, no two teams comes to your backyard and plays the Lance Taylor Hall of Fame Classic.
Okay, but I can argue against Eli Manning and have a strong argument why he should not be in.
Well, I mean, technically, you probably could argue against Terry Bradshaw being in there. Right? If you're just looking at numbers.
Yeah, but again,
Kenny Stabler,
it's
if you're just looking at numbers.
No,
Joe
but it's
Namath,
a different,
if you're looking
different
at
era.
Numbers.
It's a different era. Different era.
I mean, I've got the modern era quarterbacks here.
I viewed Terry Bradshaw as an elite quarterback then. I never have viewed Eli Manning as an elite quarterback.
And here's where Lance does not let his bias play in. You don't think Kurt Warner deserves to be in.
I don't.
But don't you think Eli Manning's in before Kurt Warner?
I think it's close. I think they're on the same plane.
Before the offensive explosion.
And by the way, he's a two-time MVP in the league.
Yep, I know.
Before the offensive explosion in the NFL, no offense ever looked like the St. Louis Rams offense with Kurt Warner.
Greatest show on turf, we called it.
Okay.
So how is he not a Hall of Famer?
Trent Green would have done the exact same thing, I promise you, in 1999. Well, the exact same thing.
Drew Bledsoe, too.
That's great.
He didn't get hurt.
No, Drew Bledsoe.
Mike Martz was Joe Brady 20 years ago. I'm telling you. The receivers were running open everywhere, and it was an array of great receivers. People don't even remember like Ozzie.
I got a dollar that says Joe Brady ages better than Martz did.
I hope so. He's much more likable than Mike Martz.
To Rockstar's point, though, Drew Bledsoe was on his way to the Hall of Fame. I mean, Drew Bledsoe was going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, he was.
Before he got hurt.
He was.
And a little guy named Tom Brady came
on.
Tom Brady was
on his way to a career in insurance.
I mean, yeah, Tom Brady was going to be a car salesman, and Drew Bledsoe was going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback before one injury.
16 seasons, all the Giants' passing records for the most part because he was there so long. Two Super Bowl rings, two MVPs, in a class only with Montana star Brady and Terry Bradshaw. He'll go in the Hall of Fame whether you think he will or will not. The announcement comes tomorrow.
If Brian Cox never hits Drew Bledsoe and makes him cough up blood, and Tom Brady never comes in, what does Tom Brady's wife look like right now?
That's a good question.
I mean, he's got a Brazilian supermodel. I'm sure she's attractive, but I mean, it's probably more of a girl next door. Right?
I mean, Brady would have latched on his backup in a couple places, maybe eventually gets a start somewhere, but he'd still have plenty of money. I mean, backup quarterback.
At age
is ill. As Brian Brown says, he is a good-looking man.
Who, Tom Brady?
Yeah, so he would probably, he'd be.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, look, and we had Matt Castle's little brother came in studio when he played for the Barons, and he said that Tom Brady's game is airtight back before he was dating Giselle.
Tim Tebow just married a Miss Universe. You think if Tim Tebow didn't go to Florida and win the Heisman, he marries a Miss Universe?
No.
It puts you in a different category.
All right, four downs time now, brought to you by Vulcan Tires. Rockstar has some wacky questions for us today, and they're brought to you by some great guys.
Yeah, four locations, Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Winter weather is in full effect. Is your car hesitant to start? Heat not working properly? Are you sliding on the road during rainy weather? These are the things they specialize in taking care of at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Again, for more information, stop by one of those four locations or go online, VulcanTireandAuto.com.
First down.
What would have been good advice in 1990, but terrible advice in 2020?
I think we hit on it yesterday. Investing in video stores and things like that. That went away really quick. What was the number you gave us yesterday, LT, that it was a billion-dollar industry and then it was gone almost overnight?
Yeah. Also, the Yellow Pages.
Oh, yeah. Get as many of those as you can, yeah, right?
Or newspaper. I mean, there are so many things over the last 20 to 30 years that have basically died.
You know what's funny?
Payphone was at its height back then, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For some reason, the Yellow Pages threw a Yellow Pages in my driveway the other day.
Oh, me too.
And my in-laws had come over, and my mother-in-law brought it in the house. She saw it in the driveway and picked it up.
How many times have you run it over?
The funny thing is, my 15-year-old said, "What is that?" So it's a phone book.
What's a book?
No, she's a phone book. So it's not really a phone book. It's the Yellow Pages. She was like completely baffled at what that was.
Oh, yeah. that was a big deal. I remember, starting in sales, getting offers to go sell for the Yellow Pages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time.
Because you had to have your company in the Yellow Pages because that's where everybody went and looked.
Yeah, I would call on businesses and they'd be like, "Look, our priority is, we're trying to get a really, really good, I forgot the size."
And what's funny is how businesses in the service industry, like a record service or a Bell Bonds or something like that, repair service, would always do their name so they would be first in the Yellow Pages.
That's right.
Or the phone book.
AA.
AA Bell Bonds, AA Plumber.
Do you remember looking up people's names in the old white pages?
Yeah.
What was funny was when you would find a coach or a celebrity whose name was actually listed in the white pages.
Absolutely.
You'd find that occasionally. it doesn't even make it in our house now. When they threw it in my driveway, we threw it right into the recycling bin.
There was one downstairs not long ago, and I was looking through it just at some people that I knew to see if they were listed.
No doubt. If there is a white pages out there, Wimp is in it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
For $1,000, you can buy a book with every positive and negative thing said about you behind your back. Do you buy it?
Is this history or also into the future?
No, this is up to this point.
Up to this point.
And I know who said it.
Yeah, let's say have the quotes. Like, this is every positive thing this person said, but this is every negative thing.
Well,
you can skip over the negative stuff if you want.
I would do it. Yes, I would do it. More for the positive than I would the negative.
Jim, you are lying to yourself.
I hear a lot of the negative. Like, you guys think I'm going to production. I just walk out of the office and stand outside the office to hear what you guys say about when I leave the office.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do it because I think I would focus more on the negative. It's just not worth it. The $1,000.
You would want to see which one's more thick?
No.
Oh, my negative's thicker.
No, see, I would have loved it back in, obviously committed and married, but back in the single days to know what anybody was saying positive about you, that would have been fantastic to say, "Oh, this girl actually likes me."
That's a different angle, Dunaway. So if you play it like that, I can kind of understand that.
Yeah, if you were in the dating game.
There was this girl in high school, Sharon, who until the night of our graduation had never, ever, ever indicated she liked me at all. And at that point, it was too late.
Yeah,
I was like, if you had, the only thing she wasn't sharing her phone number with you.
If you had 30 girls out there saying, He is such a good-looking guy. I'd love to get naked with him. What, and you would know.
What made it too late?
Because it was graduation night. We were going separate ways, and I think I had a girlfriend at that time.
I think.
Yeah. All I know is if she had mentioned that months or a couple of years earlier, all about it. It was just too late. It blew my mind. I was like, oh, my God, I wish I'd have known that. Thought about it all.
Wait, until you said that, I was going to say, even for $1,000, I don't think I would take a book of just positive.
Yeah, the $1,000 is what threw me. I would probably read the book for free, but I'm not going to pay $1,000 to find out negative things people said about me. No.
But now the positives.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But, the sad thing is if it's one page.
Yeah. No, but just imagine you're a single guy. Just imagine you're in Las Vegas for a Las Vegas Raiders game.
Brought you a chicken biscuit appreciates that.
There's no ring on the finger and you're walking by the Raider cheerleaders and one of them says,
"Who's that old dude?"
If he just walked up to me and asked me out, I'd hang out with him the entire time he's in Vegas. Now I don't know how quickly you get this book printed.
Yeah, that book changes.
Third down.
Oh, that's only third down? Wow. We spent a lot of time on that one.
What is something you swore you would never do, but now you do it frequently?
Naps.
Can I answer Browns?
No, sure.
when Twitter first came out, when I got on it,
yep.
He hated Twitter.
I did. I said I'd never do it. And I was Mike Francesa. You'll never see me on Twitter.
I said I would never do Facebook, and I still haven't.
Yep.
I had somebody yesterday, new guy in business, the business world that I met. He was like, hey, look, I'm going to tag you on this Facebook thing. And I was like,
not me.
It's not going to happen.
You're going to try, but it ain't going to work.
But naps are something that I never, ever thought. You know, I used to read about Bobby Bowden taking his daily nap in his office in Tallahassee.
And you think, how old is that guy?
Yeah, that dude is ancient.
Brent, what was your real one?
Naps, too. I'm with Lance. I never thought I'd be such a napper.
See, I took naps in college. I didn't take them after college, but, you know, staying up late, knocking out of class early on, getting back to the dorm and raising that window, having that cool breeze blowing in and sleeping.
That is a good feeling.
You didn't have the air unit? Yep.
No, not at Montevallo. Not in the 80s. I mean, we could have put the window unit in.
That good hum? Oh, that's a good nap right there.
We had a fan.
That thing would cool it down.
We had a fan. Yeah.
Fourth down.
You just had a box fan like Wes Hightower in the trailer next to Gilly's?
That's specific.
Yes.
When you're at work, what is your go-to move to look busy when someone won't leave you alone?
You squint at the computer screen.
Mine's cell phone, and I do it all the time.
Yes, hello?
I'll walk down this hall, and I'll be on the cell phone, and there is no one at the other end.
Yeah, if I hear people coming down the hall, our door is normally propped up, and I just start squinting at the computer screen and lean into it.
Dorsey Standish always look frustrated, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is due at this hour. I got to get this in.
I look like I'm reading something, and if they say something, I'll do like that. Hang on one second.
I look in my drawer for a Sharpie or a marker, like I'm looking for something, and then I'll come back and type on the computer.
Just start typing like you're.
Yeah. So I'm looking for something, then I'm typing.
Jim, your screen's not on.
That's they can't what you see. Think. Back to the wall. And then if it doesn't go away, then
you just close the door, lock it.
I always say I'm going to do some production. Production is always a great answer.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I got some time. I was going to walk over there with you.
Like I tell my wife all the time. She's like, you're not home yet? No. Had a lot of production.
Got a lot of commercials.
How does Blaze handle
had a lot of production today.
How does Blaze handle fourth down?
Oh, my God.
Door closed.
Oh. Nope. That door closed, and he's a yeller.
All right. That's Four Downs brought to you by
our friends at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Four great location, winter weather in full effect. If you're having any issues at all, these guys can rectify everything at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. For more information, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
Interact with us on Twitter at Jocks Roundtable.